हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्व मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवसरि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Page 71. Because everything is caused by your will, you must have all knowledge, since we are engaged as playthings by you. Do as you wish. Thus you should forgive us for our faults, since we are foolish. Another version has Nirashrayaha, since you depend only on your devotees. Acts like creation are only incidental for you. Thus you engage others in creation, etc. Right, so the Lord, all these other incidental aspects of the universe, though ultimately it's coming from His potency, He engages others. So the demigods and all them. So Brahma does creation, the demigods do all the maintenance and management and all that. So, because for the Lord, the interaction with the devotees is the only thing important to Him. The other things that it says incidental is just something that happens on the side. Does that make sense? You know, it's like you, how you say, order lunch and you get a napkin along with lunch. It's incidental. You know, does that make sense? So that's the whole thing. It's not the main aspect. It's not what's of interest to Krishna. So Krishna can make all this happen with just a spark of his splendor. So he uses the rest of it for interacting with devotees, because that's all that's interesting to him. He's not interested in how the running of the creation. We're very much enamored by it because of its having its Krishna's qualities. That's why. But we're enamored by just a spark. You know, when he says a spark, he means the whole thing, the whole Mahatattva. Not just, you know, what we're doing is a spark, and the universe is bigger, and then the Mahatattva is a big. No, it's just the whole thing is just a spark. Yes.
The question naturally comes, why he's doing that?
He's doing it because of the interaction with devotees.
The creation.
Because otherwise, unless you fully subscribe to the Hindu concept of Radha and Krishna in the cloud with an Om sign, and that's good enough, then you have to have a place. And so then all the pastimes go on here.
Okay, that would be the reason.
Yeah, because it's with the devotees. He comes to interact with the devotees. As a side thing, since he's here, he gets rid of the demons and establish religious principles. But that's only because then it makes it favorable for the interaction with devotees. Because that's all that's interesting. We have to take it that the aspect of being God is just something that is, it's Him. So there's no extra endeavor for it. So for many living entities, then that aspect is important to them. You know, He's God and we're His servants and this and that. But we see is that that takes up less than half of the spiritual world. Then you have Goloka, and then in there, then you have those that it's mixed or it's just sweetness. But just Aishwarya, you don't find that in Goloka. Does that make sense? The Kauravas continue. Oh, unlimited one of 1,000 heads. As your pastime, you carry this earthly globe upon one of your heads. At the time of annihilation, you withdraw the entire universe within your body and remaining all alone, lie down to rest. Srila Sanatana Goswami comments. Protection is your main business because you hold up the earth by your great mercy in your specialized expansion. Right, so also protection is one of the 10 topics of Bhagavatam. Right? O unlimited one, therefore you can have 1,000 heads. Therefore, with even one of your heads, you can support the whole world. Holding up the earth as Sesha, I am different from the Supreme Lord. Why do you praise me as being identical? At the end, you alone remain. That means he's expanded so many things, but once it winds up, then there's just him alone. Or, even during destruction, you do not deviate from maintaining everything. At that time, you protect Niruddha, the universe, within your form, Atmani. You are without a second. You alone remain and are thus called Sesha, or unlimited one, Ananta. O Lord with unlimited heads, this form is revealed in the Purusha Shukta. Therefore, you maintain this universe by your unlimited form as a pastime. Right? So the Purusha Shukta is defining this aspect of Hiranyagarbha, how he has this unlimited forms and expanded and has made everything. Same time, he's the support of everything. Right? So this aspect is, Sesha is, he's the last of the expansions, but at the same time, he's also known as Ananta because he's unlimited, even though he may be the last expansion. Because he's holding up unlimited universes. And, so therefore he has unlimited hoods, so he's Ananta. Does that make sense? And then he's in each universe, and like this, and with him. The Kauravas continue. Your anger is meant for instructing everyone. It is not a manifestation of hatred or envy. Right? So here the anger is just because something's wrong and needs to be corrected. So the anger will be used to correct it, and once it's corrected, then it goes back to normal. Right? Yes.
We see here that Balaram's reaction is, you would say, very, very strong. To what he follows the etiquette, then the whole thing unfolds. He controls his senses, hears what they say, but then his reaction is...
Yes, but the
serious thing.
But the thing is they are insulting the Supreme Lord and his pastimes. So then, that's not taken very lightly.
Because even some people argue that Balaram, as he is, not as Krishna, he overreacts sometimes. The same story with the Roma Harsha. It's like...
That's... One could look at it that way if we are taking in fractions these particular ones lightly. Because if we don't accept the principle of authority, or we have problems with authority, then that means the idea of having an absolute standard and therefore something to judge it by will not be there, or will not be something that's palatable. So we just want to work on the principle that it is, done in a certain way.
Yeah.
But at the same time, as you see, is those who would consider this overreacting, because they would consider, well, everyone has their opinion, everyone's different, everyone's this and that, meaning everyone can flaunt authority in whatever unique way they want. And as long as they don't bother me and my flaunting it, we're fine. But now, if there is some value particularly that they have, and somebody breaks that, then you'll see is that, overreacting is just their standard way of responding. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's the whole thing, is that they're only saying tolerate in areas that they... So if you're intolerant of what they're tolerant of, you're intolerant. But what they're intolerant of, they're really intolerant. So it's not that there's... What is the measurement that they're using? So that's the problem. And since the measurement's not Krishna, therefore that measurement's not Yogamaya. It'll be Mahamaya. Because Maya means measurement. I think it comes from Miyate or something like that. So that you can measure. And so then... What is their standard? It's just like the Greek society is the basis of, you can say, Western philosophy and thought and broad-minded. Now, the Greeks, was it a problem if you were gay?
No.
No.
Um,
And if you were, let's say, basically a hijra, you are worship. Like that. So they had, you know, it was known in the Roman society that if things got too out of hand, you just went to Greece and you were fine. You know? So that's just how it worked. And so, you know, they had a lot of things, a lot of different stuff that's there that you could say is very contemporary or very modern. But at the same time, what was their reaction to Socrates, who was saying there's an absolute truth? He's just a philosopher. They put him to death. And not only wouldn't do it themselves, they give him the hemlock that he has to drink. So they can say, well, we didn't kill him, he drank it. You understand? So this principle, because it's the modes of nature, that's what's going on. So whoever will say that Balaram is overreacting, then they're like the sophists of that time. They'll say, Balaram's overreacting, but check them out when something goes wrong that they don't agree with. So it's not that they're broad-minded on all levels and very kind and this and that everywhere. They're only kind where they feel kindness is due. Where it's not, they're seriously unkind. You know, so it's just authority issues. That's all.
Balaram is the original spiritual master. It makes sense that he's in a position to...
Yes, but the problem is bringing that point up, which is a good point, it's a valid point, but bringing it up in the context of what he was saying, they'll consider that too much also. You know, thunderbolt and rose, guru should only be rose, not thunderbolt. But when something socially that they don't like, oh, they're like, you know, thunderbolt's, you know, a euphemism. So that's the whole difficulty, is that we have basically two choices: to create, to understand and then follow standards coming from the Lord, or create our own. Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions the conditioned soul must follow religion. So either you follow what Shastra gives, or you'll make it up. It's just the way it is. So that's the whole thing. So in these things is that there's the pastime is there, and they're reacting very badly in how they're dealing with the Supreme Lord, and they're being very aggressive. It's not that they in one sense don't kind of know who he is or this or that. Like you see, I think there's a chapter, we haven't come up to it yet, I think, or did we? It's called ill-motivated Dhritarashtra. We haven't come up to it yet. So it's just before Kurukshetra or something. So it's a very short chapter. It's one of the shortest chapters. And this whole chapter is about him explaining actually the position and glories of Krishna, how he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and how everything's going to go the way he wants it. Then Dharma is sent by him, the law is by him, you follow it, everything will go nice. You don't follow it, nothing will go right. Everything like that. You can go, this guy is really Krishna conscious, but at least he knows the philosophy. But he says at the end, no, he knows it's wrong because of his attachment to the sun. What can he do?
Yeah. We did this long time back.
We did the long time back. So that's the whole difficulty, is that this knowledge, but how they're dealing is so badly. Two, we have to understand we are working in Kshatriya culture. And so unless the person themselves is of Kshatriya nature, and then they're saying it's too much, then we can, okay, well then how? But if they are from a different nature, then we'll see it's like, you know, does that make sense? You know, it's just like, yeah. It's just the way the reaction goes. It's Kshatriyas, they have that passion, have the thing. So for them, we see is that it's going quite nicely. Because if he hadn't done this, they would have carried on in their ignorance, arrogance. But by doing this, then immediately then they understand and everything goes nicely. But the point is can the individuals who complain about Balaram's overuse of anger or force, can they maintain things the way Balaram does? He pulled the city, but the city's still there. Could we do that? No, when we show our anger, we actually destroy, because that's what it said here. He says, who just said, what type? No, it just means that he showed the anger, but it was, here. Your anger is meant for instructing everyone. It is not a manifestation of hatred or envy. So those who say this about Balaram, they can't do that. They'll act out of hatred or envy. Because if they didn't have hatred or envy, why would they say this towards Balaram? You know, because they're taking it as a light thing, insulting Krishna and dealing in badly like this, and you, the arrogance that they have and all. So then one would have a doubt on whether these individuals, they themselves don't also think Krishna's behaving wrong and stuff like that. Why, I'm a devotee, why is this happening to me? This shouldn't happen to me. I should have more control, more authority. I should have more respect. Why aren't I getting it? Does that make... Are we getting anywhere there?
Yeah, I'm just thinking on that point. You also mentioned it yesterday.
Now, these, what I'm saying, these are underlying qualities that you may be able to observe that they're there, but they're not the shown qualities. You understand? What I'm talking about here is the mentality underneath, the underlying, the foundational mentality. I'm not talking about the presentation that they present themselves. There it'll be very nice, pleasant, talk very nicely, try not to get upset about anything, as, you know, as long as it's within the realm that they are comfortable with. If it goes outside of that, then you'll see as they have a meltdown as bad or worse than others. But they will be known, or at least they will identify and project themselves that they're the broad-minded, liberal, all-accommodating people. But actually, they're not. Because they create a standard that everybody has to follow. So they don't actually like independence. This is the fun part, is that where there's control and where there's independence between those who are conservative and liberal, they're just opposite. It's not that they both don't have it. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It means the conservatives, they have a standard social etiquette, means of standard of secondary form that they all follow. But at the same time, each one can do their own thing within that, and they don't bother each other. Right? While the liberals, it'll be the opposite. Is that within the forms that you use, that you can have, you know, it means you can have so many forms, why you dress, how you look, this and that. But the standard of control of what standards you have of qualities and all that, that they're very strict about. In fact, it takes a much greater show of force to apply the liberal standard than it does the conservative. You know what I'm saying? Like that. Yeah, because it's just like, you generally don't, let's say you have a state that's known for being a little strong. Let's say like a German state. But you generally don't see books written about that as a thing. Generally when they want to show that authority is over the top and controlling everybody, they're using a leftist state as the example. You know, just going back historically, that's just how it goes. Because right will go to the point, and then it may turn into a despot or something like that, and that's just obviously not, you know, no one will say that's great. But the left will keep going until it turns into the same thing, but because of the way they talk, they try to present it as if they're, you know, working for the higher good. Does that make sense? You know, so that's the funny part. So that's why if we maintain attachment to the modern ideals without understanding the principles that we're working with and what those ideals are actually meant for, we're not thoughtful. then it'll never run right. It'll never be good for them and never be good for anybody else. And then finally, like this, you can't taste the pastime because they're always, oh, this and oh, that. It's just like, you know how you say, trying to have in a contemporary environment, have a lunch with somebody. Nothing that anybody eats is right. You know? It's just wrong. Everything's wrong. What you order, how you eat it, how much you eat of it, how much it costs. There's nothing you can do right. So in the same way as then you can't, there is no relationship. There's no rasa. So instead of appreciate how Balaram is doing this to correct them, and you see they surrender, they take up the devotional attitude. Now, when they do this, is that what happens? You'd have to see. But there's a good chance no, because of the envy and hatred. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Therefore it is social justice warrior, not social justice cute, cuddly, harmless teddy bear.
Yes, social justice warrior.
Or warrior.
Not social justice, really nice, yeah. Gregarious guy. Yeah. Person. Even though guy you can use for men or women, but we'll just be safe, say person. Just in case they identify as an animal or something. Yes.
In just the same, actually, everybody is benefiting.
Everybody?
Benefit.
Everybody benefits, yes. Yeah, everybody benefits. That's the whole thing. Balaram, he was pleased by how it went. They got all the benefit, the devotees who are watching, those who were acting in an improper way, then they became corrected. Then those who speak about it, those who hear about it, everybody becomes benefited because it's Krishna. It's the Supreme Lord in the form of Balaram. So then everyone gets the benefit. But if we simply find fault, which we will probably feel is that I'm doing this from a higher intellectual, cultured, sophisticated platform. But people who can find fault in God are, I would say a dime a dozen is probably quite expensive. You could probably, do it in how you call it? Micro sense or something like that. I don't know what it is, but, they're so common. It's just. And that's the sad part, is they feel that they're so special and unique when they're just like everybody else. Like that. In fact, when it comes to finding fault, probably the rickshaw wallers could come up with better stuff. You know what I'm saying? It's like in the West, the guys at the pub, they think they're so like that and gross, and they start to get loud and use vulgar language. But how many words do they use? Like that. Like I said, one day, one boy was telling me he saw this fight between two village Bengali ladies. He said they went on for an hour. It probably wasn't an hour. But he said every time they spoke something new that he never heard of before. Vulgar language was fresh and different and unique that he said he's never heard of. And he said that if a rickshaw waller was there, they would have to cover their ears. So it was. So they're not even that good at that. So that's the problem. One devotee was telling Prabhupada, "Oh, Prabhupada, I'm the most fallen." Prabhupada looked at him and says, "No, you're not the most fallen. You're not the most anything." Right? Krishna is the most of everything, and we're just insignificant servants. So as soon as we think I'm the most, then we think I'm the best. I'm the best of the fallen. Like Hiranyakashipu, oh, best of the demons. So we have to be careful. These are subtle points, and if we want to look at them from the social justice platform, then we can do that and go on arguing forever and never actually advance in devotional service. Never get a taste, never get steady. Always be distracted by secondary things. Think that a pursuance of good qualities alone is devotional service. And feel ourselves advanced and others not because they're not. And we'll develop our own religion and our own sophistication. And then we'll claim that this is devotional service when, if you look with the acharyas generally make the point, is an unbiased You just look at it and okay, what's the argument here, what's there, and then you'll see is that it's not very good. So that's why we have to be very careful about these things. So we find is that the more we accept the principle of authority and are comfortable with that, then the more these pastimes are inspiring. And the less we have, and the more we have issues with authority, then because it's all about Krishna, who is the supreme authority, we're going to have problems with everything. So that's the difficulty. So as much as possible, so that people do get a taste and an interest, then you try to sidestep these things by some simple answer that you know they're comfortable. You know, just say, yeah, he just did it just to instruct. It was just a, you know, like that. And they were big Kshatriyas, emperors of the world, thought that they were very big, so unless something catastrophic happens, they wouldn't even notice. You know, they could go out on a battlefield. One of these guys can fight with, you know, 10,000 warriors, and it's comfortable for them. So unless it's very, very big, they won't notice. So then like that, okay, and then, you know, and then you go on. Does that make sense? You just have to find that kind of way to sidestep this, because there's not enough purity at heart to be able to actually appreciate and understand what's there. So whatever elements they will take, then get them into that. It's just like the people don't like the philosophy or the culture or this or that. Just give them prasad, you know, like that. Be pleasant, like this. Or if they like the kirtan, then that's good. If you can give some philosophy, nice. If you can't, then don't. So, you know, until they get purified, and then you start to give more. So, yes.
Probably with this argument that it's overreacting, they cannot stand it. Krishna or Balaram, they are establishing their position as the supreme.
Yeah, because they're the supreme authority. Because the point is generally those who criticize the Lord from this way, they want to be the authority. It means how they view the world, how they view Krishna consciousness. That's the standard. Anything else is you know, above that's fanatic. Anything below that is not up to standard. So that's the whole thing. It's just people fall back. It means you either move forward into the Vedic culture that we're offered, or you'll fall back into whatever you grew up in. Does that make sense? So that's the whole thing. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur comments, the display of anger from you, who maintain sattva-gun for maintenance, was only to teach us what type of anger, that which has its purpose, tat-paraha, to maintain respect for rules of conduct. So that's the point, is he establishes the rules. But what you were saying is they want to establish the rules. Because you exhibited anger, we are now obedient. Right? So because of that, otherwise they wouldn't have been. Previously, we were polluted and did not see you being blinded by pride. Tat para, without the visarga, would make the phrase evocative. O Lord, whose object is maintenance of correct behavior. Right? So that's what he's doing. If Krishna comes to establish dharma, then that's the whole point. He has to establish what's the correct behavior. So he removes what's incorrect and establishes what is correct. So by one pastime, he does both. Like that, and within a few seconds. Not bad. Take a whole city and turn it around. I mean, it's like, what do you call it? Sodom and Gomorrah, they had to just turn it into salt or something like that, or just burn it down. It was like that. Jericho also, just knock it down. It was just too far gone. While here, he just takes it to throw into the river, and then everybody surrenders. So it works. No? The Kaurav has concluded, we bow down to you, O soul of all beings, O wielder of all potencies, O tireless maker of the universe. Right? Because every breath he's making a new universe, you know, a new creation. Yes. Just offering you obeisances, we take shelter of you. Srila Jiva Goswami comments, seeing that he did not stop pulling the city, they became terrified. They began chanting his dear names and bowing down in surrender. We offer obeisances because you are the soul of all beings. It's not that he just gave a yank on it to just show he could do it. He just kept pulling it until, okay, then they come out. We offer respects because you are the soul of all beings, Paramatma. Thus you have all powers because you alone arrange for the senses to function, Sarva Shakti Dhara. And you are endowed with all powers, Avyaya. Therefore you create the universe, Vishva Karman. Let us offer obeisance. Let that remain eternally, Astu. Because of the qualities listed, you are worthy of being our shelter. You are the supremely powerful because you possess all Shaktis. You are inexhaustible in those powers, therefore you create the universe. Yes.
Can we say that the first option Bhagavad gave them, it was actually a personal option?
Yeah.
And then they couldn't relate to that.
Yes.
And then he showed them Vibhutis. So now all those prayers, it sounds like, you know, they don't see him as much as a person, but more like a Paramatma.
Yes. Yes.
So that impresses them. So
yes,
that connects with that particular group.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, then they don't notice because he's there, he's a Yadu, they're junior to us, we're superior, we're the greatest, and like that. So, yes, so short of this, where he shows his opulence, then only they appreciate it. So that's also would be a very nice way to explain it to the person. Because they wanted war. Then Balaram said, no, I'll take care of it. It's family to family, so let us conciliation. So right there, those who have a doubt that he reacts too strongly, then should be pacified.
Yeah.
Because then he goes there and presents this pleasant thing. You know, it's in strong language because they are wrong. Because they took 6 Maharatis to catch one. That's irreligious. That's against the law. Right, so all that is being neglected, and so basically, it's they're taking the mood of the residents the Kuru jungle, the Kuru's place, but at the same time, as the Kuru surrender and they don't, so a little less fortunate. So then, he only reacts because they would have had war. If they wanted war, then he would have had to not do anything. But he took all the trouble, and they didn't respect that, like you said, as a person and this and that. It's only when he shows he's God, then, okay, now they'll respect. Mm-hmm. So that's the difficulty. So that's how it has to be done. Depending upon who you're dealing with, then that's what's there. You know? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's the point, is if you have Brahmins, then you just simply point out the Shastric things and this and that, and then they're good. But then you see when you start with Kshatriyas on down, because the passion that's there, and the ignorance that comes up, then unless it's much stronger, they don't respond. You know, it's like I remember, as a kid, a parking ticket, or, you know, these minor infractions, they were a very minor amount of money. You know, because people valued and all this and that, so then they would be very careful about this. Now it's like, I think it's like a parking ticket's like 90 euros or 90 bucks. Or, you know, it's really ridiculous. And some other things are like 100 and something and 200. Really, really high. That's because they've tried the lower things and people they don't care. So they had to make it to the point where they find they get some response. So in other words, if $5 or $10, nobody cares. But you make it 120 and now they care. So then they probably just keep increasing until they see it starts to go down. And then as long as it stays down, good. If not, then they raise it again. You know, so that's the difficulty, is that it's the quality of the people that you're dealing with also. So. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, thus propitiated by the Kurus, whose city was trembling and who were surrendering to him in great distress, Lord Balaram became very calm and kindly disposed towards them. Do not be afraid, he said, and took away their fear. Like when you surrender, then he takes care very nicely. But that's the whole point, is that we won't be very angry, but we also won't give much support or freedom from fear. So it's like, so what's the speciality? So they're saying, oh, it's so strong one way, but the other way, it's also very strong. So the whole thing is just to a particular level. Well, nowadays it's like the people, oh, you pour this and that, and then the next moment they don't care anything about you. They moved on to another poor fellow. Poor person. Yes.
Actually, one very important characteristic of Kshatriya that he gives joy to the citizens.
Yes, they give joy to the citizens. So that's why Balaram is compared to the moon, and so that's one of the qualities of a Kshatriya. Just by seeing them, then they're pleasing. You know, that's what it should be, is you see the leader and you're pleased. Just the mood and, you know, how they, you know, they just carry themselves and everything like that. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Then you have the... Okay.
Correct.
That's the real problem, right?
But he gives to all.
Devotees are telling that what it is discussing, that to give joy to the citizens, that some joyous occasion was there in Qatar or Bahrain, somewhere like that, and the king gave like 50,000 rupees worth of money to every single citizen on that day.
Yeah, but that means, you see, what are they, you know, these big festivals that they have, how much is there, is going on? That when at Draupadi Swayambar, all the arrangements, did you hear about that they were selling the stuff there? They had that, they sold tickets, and then they were selling the food, and then, you know, especially expensive was the water, right? You know, like that, you know. Sell fried food, and then, you know, for cheap, and then sell the water expensive, you know, like that. Is that
huh?
Yeah, yeah. No, these are things that are going. They're giving charity to all this and that, so that's there. But it should be discredited. He's giving 50,000 to every person, but it should be graded. Because to some people, 50,000, then they waste it. Like I remember the other day, one devotee, Mataji, was saying that she, you know, was thinking about some money that she was going to, you know, she had, and she was thinking maybe she'd give it to the kids later. And then she thought, well, not now. They're all big. They have families. So I give now. And so then she gave, I think the son gave the money. You know, it wasn't everything, but it was some, you know, nice little chunk. And then he said, oh, great. You know, I've always wanted to invest in Bitcoin. And then she thought, why did I give him money? You know, like that. So that was the whole thing, is that you give according to the qualification of the person. So it should be, some people maybe you're only getting 10,000, because if you give more than that, then they'll just go out and buy alcohol and waste their time. And other people's, you might be giving, you know, instead of 50,000, you're giving 500,000. Then that means then it's good. But the point that they're charitable and they're taking care of the citizens, that's good. Then you can improve that by making distinction between the qualifications of the individuals. That makes sense. But it's always a good thing. So that's the way the kings would go. They do these programs, and so much is, you know, they're feeding everybody, and, you know, so much is being given and all that. But you'll see the big, big charity that they talk about, that's always given to the Brahmins. But how much money does it take to build this whole city for the Kshatriyas to come with their whole retinue to stay? The king comes, he doesn't just come with his PA. Right? He comes with his whole family. Then you have everybody else. So, I think it was the, Gayatri Devi? Queen of Jaipur? When she was a child, when their family would travel, they would take two bogies for themselves. One bogey was just for the family, and the other bogey was for the luggage, which took up half of it, and the other half was for the servants. Like that. So, yeah. So they're not going out with the army. So these kings, they come with their army. So you have to put up all that, all their animals, all their everything, all the servants, and they're building all these things. They're like seven-story palaces. But they're temporary. But they're seven-story palaces. Right? And so how much money is that? You know, and the kings, that the seats, I think, were for the
not sure about Swayamvar, but when the Pandavas, you know, when Dronacharya started the deed, finished the training to show the public how nicely they're trained, then in the arena, then I think for the kings, they were sitting on gold thrones or gold benches like that. And then, you know, everybody had their own areas, and it would be appropriate for the area. So, like that.
Well, one JP thing, when he goes to UK, he takes big silver pot of Ganges water.
Yes. Yeah, he took his own ship. You know, the King of Jaipur one he had, I think, I can't remember how many he had, but these huge, huge pots, you know, I mean, they're like as big as a person. Solid silver filled with dunga wire. He was going to England, and his whole point is, what's auspicious over there? So they use that water for their cooking, for their bathing, everything like that. They didn't use the local water. You know, maybe to, you know, how you say, clean the floors and stuff like that. But no, they would brush their teeth in the dunga wire. And so they took a ship. You know, they didn't just... Yeah, I mean, that's a whole different discussion. But the point is they are pleasing to the public. So then when they come out, so Balaram's very pleasing. So when the Kauravas went inside, others stayed because they're with Balaram, it's so nice to be with them. And those that are being offensive, then they're the ones that turned their back and, you know, went off in a huff.
And so then one takes a position of authority. It is necessary that he should take the responsibility of giving protection at all levels to his dependents.
The responsibility of protection means within the context of what they're dealing in. Does that make sense? So it's not just, there's a common point of protection. It's within the area of what they're dealing in.
Because many times when you preach, then there are many material problems you have to deal with that. Emotional level
of it means you can deal with that if that's within the context of what you're dealing. But if you're trying to show them, you know, practically and get involved in how they develop their community, then you have to deal with all those things. But if you're showing what's the principles on which it's based and all that, that they themselves then apply, so you are taking responsibility that they understand what you're talking about, but they have to apply it, then you don't. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, what do you call them? The mentors?
Yes.
Yeah. They take that responsibility, but then when it gets up above them, they don't take for the general, they take for the mentors. Yeah. And above that, then you see Maharaj's.
Yeah.
He doesn't take responsibility that, you know, this one poked that one and, you know, like that. He stole my chapati. He took my kandi. You know, kandi is more important than the chapati. You know, like that. He doesn't deal with that stuff. That's what the mentors do. So it just depends on your field. So within your field, you take responsibility. Does that make sense? You know, it's like here, we'll discuss philosophy. And so there's a proper understanding of the philosophy that's there. What you eat for breakfast is not our business. Does that make sense? As long as you eat it in the proper consciousness. You know, so in other words, we're not going to get involved whether you put salt, pepper, and lemon on your and olive oil on your avocado or not.
You know.
Lunch, really, we're not going to discuss. Okay, Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, "For the most part, it was the practice of the Kshatriya kings to inaugurate some kind of fighting between the parties of the bride and groom before the marriage." So this is just how they did. Now, if you don't like that, we can argue over that also. You know, this is just what it is. So therefore, here is just the, what do you call it? This is how they were dealing. So no one should get too upset that it was a fight. But, he did it in a very unique way to win the battle, right? So,
Pari is the bridegroom before the marriage. When Sambha forcibly took away Lakshmana, the elderly members of the Kuru dynasty were pleased to see that he was actually the suitable match for her, right? Because when he fought, it took six Maharathis, not one, six to capture him. So then as far as it goes for a Kshatriya, who especially for Maharathis, because she's Duryodhana's daughter, right? Yes, yeah, so then he's a Maharathi and the strength of 10,000 elephants. So then he would like, you know, someone very powerful for his daughter. So they're actually very pleased, you know, that it took six of them, six Maharathis, to catch him. You know, like this. In order to see his personal strength, however, they fought with him. Right? So when he came and he had the boldness, you know, the courage.
Chivalry.
The chivalry, yeah, that would be the proper word.
Panache.
Huh?
Panache.
Panache, yes. So like that, you know, so chivalry with a flair, right? Then, you know, he comes in and just in front of everyone kidnaps the girl, because many would may try, but others would stop them. But no, he actually got the girl and got away. So then they're impressed, but they're not going to say that. That's not how it works. You know, you're impressed by something, then you don't say anything. You just not bad.
Just aside from that's cool if he can fight so many Maharajas. But how will it help him in his marriage?
I'm not sure who we're quoting from, but somebody on a level that could say this made the point that dealing in the marriage and managing an empire are of, you know, basically similar. So it shows his potential, right? Getting things done, things like that, you know, so. That's the, but the point is it's also in all these, it's the qualities that are there, because without the qualities, you can't apply it. See, people may have knowledge and skills that they can apply in Varna, but without character, they can't apply it in Ashram. That's the problem. It's the same knowledge and skill, and the same way that people deal in their occupation, or with their things, with the same understanding, if they applied that to the family interactions, they would do well. They'd do very good. But they don't have the character to it. Right? Does that make sense? Because that's what's missing. So people want the knowledge. They want the tricks. They don't want that they have to improve their character to make it work. You know, it's just like saying, okay, here's all the tools that you can use. Oh, great, so then I'll use those. No, you can only use them if you use them from the mode of goodness. You know, then... So that's the difficulty. So the character is there, and that's why they see he's suitably a match for her, because she's very good, proper quality. So he has the same. And then, you know, by fighting, then they can see as, you know, then in the Kshatriya, in the occupational. So they can see from the one side he's good, and then they check from the other. You know, so you know on both sides, Varna and Ashram, he's good.
Right. So in these marriages, I guess the Kshatriya qualities are such that astrology isn't given too much...
Means you can, if that's what they're going to go for. But then in these kind of things where they're doing the Swayamvars, the quality of character and commitment to the process and knowing what is the process, and because they're Kshatriyas, it's the same process. That's why mixed marriages are a problem, because one does things in one way, someone does it in another. And so, therefore, if they're committed to the marriage will always work. So it doesn't matter who they marry, because whoever they're marrying is of the same character. So it doesn't matter. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, let's say I have a basket of apples, and they're of a particular
kind of, what do you call them?
Variety?
Variety, yes. And they're of a particular quality. You know, very high quality of a very high, a good variety. So does it matter which apple I take from the basket? No. But if you look at it, each apple is uniquely a little different. So it won't have a problem there. But as the standard thing, then you would check and all that. You see that they do in some. If they just want to do like that, then they'll do. But at these kind of things, then it's a little bit more. So it's not that, oh, I'm a Kshatriya, I don't have to. No. The point is they didn't have to because they had the same training. They all had the same training, same character, same culture. So they would marry from that strata. So that's the so the quality of the Yadus and the quality of the Kurus then would match as far as the level of standard of how they would do things. Mm-hmm. How they would do with the Brahmins, how they'd do with each other, all these different things. Mm-hmm. Is that what it says? So therefore it will always work. Because it's the character that's there. We shouldn't catch the part, Kshatriyas don't appear to be worrying about the astrology, so we don't have to worry because we're Kshatriyas. I'm a manager, so I'm a Kshatriya, so, you know, and they just like the look of the girl, and I like that girl, and so therefore, hey, you know, it's Vedic. Yeah. But the thing is we see in the Mahabharata, just as an example, Yudhishthira Maharaj, when they're out in the forest, this is after they lost the gambling, losing their shirt would be a euphemism, right? And so then they had to bring bark from the forest to put on, right? So then when she's complaining about the position, how Duryodhan is there and the king and Yudhishthira is not, and how useless this gambling is and that, Yudhishthira deals very gently. Right? Now we would take it, Kshatriyas, we're passionate, we yell, we scream, we throw things. You know? But no, he's very, very gentle. And then with Bhima, then when they're in the Varnavata, then she comes and says, no one's taking care, no one this, no one that. And so Bhima, he could say, what do you mean no one's taking care? Well, yeah, I have to sit in here and watch pots and not, you get to hang out with the queen, at least eat, you know, do something nice. You know, I have to get in the kitchen out. You know, and so he doesn't do that. He just hears what she has to say and very submissively says, you know, don't worry, I'll do this. I'll take care of it. You know what I'm saying? So that's the quality of the character. So what princess they couldn't marry? So that's the point. So Kshatriya is the quality of nature, not the external form. You know what I'm saying? So it's not that. Okay, we guard the temple at night and we walk around, and so therefore we're Kshatriyas. And, you know, that's not how it works. Does that make sense?
There was one question that I brought up a few weeks ago, maybe 1 week ago, about how these days maybe not everyone that is a certain varna can get a job in that varna, like they might have to settle for something else.
That's another thing, but that's what Manu already advises that. Mm-hmm. You have your natural form of what you do, and then if you can't do that, then you start, you know, coming down from there.
Yeah, but this is the point that I was trying to make, because what you just said, that it's about the actual nature, so somebody could have, you know, such and such nature, but they have to, like, in this day and age, because these things aren't valued and they're not supported, then they have to settle for something else. So does that make them, you know, that just because they settled that, even though their nature is...
No, what are you trying to find out? I don't catch it. What's the point?
Like, if somebody has a Brahminical nature and they have to settle for a Shudra job, just that, I know as devotees by ashram there.
Yeah. Because it's everybody. But it still doesn't mean that how he deals with the job and how he sees things, he doesn't deal in the proper way. The point is now if he does have the opportunity to do some Brahminical activity and they don't take it, they prefer to continue as a Shudra, then according to Manu, then they have to reclassify themselves as a Shudra.
Yeah.
They're okay. No longer a Brahmin.
Okay, yeah. If he has the opportunity.
He has the opportunity.
Similarly, you explained once that in Dronacharya, when he came to the battlefield, he couldn't have said that, "Don't do Brahma, they don't kill me." At that time, he's taken a Kshatriya and people are allowed to.
Yeah, but, it's just the way it goes. Means he being there at the battle place, them coming back in the night or even going out there and then giving direction and talking strategy, then technically they shouldn't be killing him. Right? But if he takes up the, as the general of the army, then you can kill him. He's acting as a Kshatriya. There'll be consideration, of course, because of his position, but then, what about Shalya? He's the uncle. So all these things are there. That's why we look at also the Kshatriya whole scene is, has its difficulties. So it's not a spontaneous, "I'm a Kshatriya, I'm passionate, I can do what I like." No, it's I'm a Kshatriya, I'm passionate, I follow the rules. That's how it goes.
And about the
problem. And if it's no, I do what I like, then we have to, as Manu says, you have to reclassify them either as a Shudra at best or a outcast because they don't care for the rules.
The Buddha Prabhu saying that they're not utilizing the instrument of astrology to find matches. When we see the life of Shakuntala, whole life she's raised by Brahmins. But the king, when he saw her, wanted to marry her. So immediately she complained that, "No, I'm a Brahmin girl. This is Varnasankar." He said, "Impossible. The fact that I'm a Kshatriya, I can only be attracted to a Kshatriya girl. So it is, meet me that you're a Kshatriya." So they had this sense.
But she was a Kshatriya.
Yeah.
But raised by
Brahmin.
Okay.
So they had the sense also, not just...
Oh, okay, because the father was a Kshatriya.
Yeah. Vishwamitra's daughter.
Yeah, but he was acting like a Brahmin, but not quite. Yeah, okay. Okay, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So you have that, but that's another age also. No. That's not now. Means if from that combination you have a son who can go out and catch tigers, I don't mean like baby cubs, little baby and that, like full-sized tigers. Tie them up with a rope or a vine or whatever it is and tie them to a tree and then play with them like a pet cat. Then go ahead, knock us out, say what you like. "Yes, I'm only attracted by Kshatriyas." Yeah, then you can do that. But if not, then one has to stick to it. See, the point is, as Prabhupada's recommended it, therefore we should do it. Because as it is today, if you take general devotee and says, "What's Varnashram?" Define the four Varnas and Ashrams very clearly so we can, apply it socially. They wouldn't necessarily be able to do it. Therefore, then, by using the charts, you get an understanding. Does that make sense? So that's there. Because otherwise, you have two people that are from exactly the same social background. They get married and they follow their customs. The marriage will work. But it doesn't mean it won't have its bickering and total differences of opinion, but it'll work as a marriage. You understand? But if you don't have that, you need the charts, because otherwise you don't know. Because we have to understand. The modern context of beauty is only skin deep, that's basically the more that anybody looks. They're not looking at the character, at the personality, at the values, like that. So that's what the chart will tell you. So, but it doesn't mean that just because the chart's good that the marriage will work. It's that you have to put in the effort to make it work. Just because I give you a first-class kitchen and first-class ingredients doesn't mean without first-class endeavor that the cooking will be good. Some think, it's all good, I don't have to make the endeavor. No, you have, by now making the endeavor, you get much more results. So, okay, good.
Is it a Vedic example?
Huh?
Is it a Vedic example?
With what?
like the kitchen. As you always say.
Everybody's got to eat. So it's one of the last examples. All my other examples you can't use anymore. Because nowadays it's like, you know, everyone goes on the internet. Their experience of the internet is totally different from someone else. There's no common thing. So even the cooking goes now a little bit. But in some things, they wouldn't have a clue. You know, in those groups, then I give the example of, you know, microwaving. Put it in there and push the button for 2 minutes. I even remember somebody, they had some system where they had the timer turned off, and so they just put it in and then open the door after some time because they can't get it. They just don't have the patience to set the timer. And I'm not even sure that they kept the door closed with a fork. You got to close the door, put the fork, and then it'll stay. Because I think if you turn off the timer or something, it won't close like that. So they just use a fork. So that's the examples I give in that group. So I think everybody here still has some connection with cooking, at least of eating.
Huh? Still here.
Still here. Okay. Yeah. So that's it. Yeah, because we were giving the defending ones, and then people criticize it's too strong, you know, the reaction's too strong, right? Sleeping probably won't get too far, you know, and mating, people don't want to touch that with a 10-foot pole. So that only leaves us eating. What to do? By the nati-nati process.
Okay.
Yes. In order to see his personal strength, however, they fought with him. And without any respect for the regulations of fighting, they all arrested him. Because it should have been they were happy with his fighting and saw his great prowess and then invited him back. Instead of arresting him, either invite him back and then send for the Yadus to come for the marriage, or let him go and then he'll go to Dwarka and have the marriage there. So, yeah, because you can, yeah. Because then here is that you have the marriage, but at the same time as you haven't had the marriage. Rakshasa marriage is a marriage. So these Samba and Lakshmana are married, but only by the Rakshasa rite. So then for humans, that's not considered ideal. So then now that that's been done, now they'll have the proper marriage, because there was going to be, and then Rakshasa stepped in, and then now they go back to, you know, the regular marriage. When the Yadu dynasty decided to release Samba from the confinement of the Kurus, Lord Balaram came personally to settle the matter, and as a powerful Kshatriya, he ordered them to free Samba immediately. The Kauravas became superficially insulted by his order, so they challenged Lord Balaram's power. They simply wanted to see him exhibit his inconceivable strength. So then we see here is that it's just a continuation of this. It was the practice of the Kshatriya kings to inaugurate some kind of fighting between the parties of the bride and bridegroom before the marriage. So in some way, so either they actually have a battle or they just insult it. Something they do just to create. That's just what they have to do. And so then here, Balaram comes, so they dealt with him in this way just to see his prowess. So that's the other side. They didn't... You know. Yeah. Verses 50 to 54. Lord Balaram returned to Dwarka with the newly married couple. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, Duryodhana, being very affectionate to his daughter, gave her as a dowry 1,260-year-old elephants. And so 60 means that they'll be quite mature in that, because elephants will live to 100, so then, you know, they're good, they're strong. 120,000 horses, 60,000 golden chariots shining like the sun, and 1,000 maidservants with jeweled lockets on their necks. Footnote 19. Duryodhana gave this wealth because of affection for his daughter. He thought, if Balaram and the people here are not pleased, my daughter will not be respected. Right? So then he wants to, you know, make a proper show. The Supreme Lord, chief of the Yadavas, accepted all these gifts and then departed with his son and daughter-in-law as well as his well-wishers bid him farewell. Then Lord Halayudha entered his city, Dwarka, and met his relatives, whose hearts were all bound to him in loving attachment. In the assembly hall, he reported to the Yadu leaders everything about his dealings with the Kurus. Srila Jiva Goswami comments, he entered his own city magnificently, Pravistaha, with singing and auspicious music, and met his friends Krishna, Vasudeva, and others. Because of Anurag, they always watched the road for his return. Anuraktachetasaha. Among the leaders of the Yadus, like Ugrasena, he told them all his actions in the assembly in order to give them joy. Right? So by hearing this, they get joy. That's funny. So that way, another pleasant way, either you could, like we said before, you deal with it, and that pleasant, just kind of lightly explain it. Or you could say, oh, I get it, you're not a Kshatriya, so you wouldn't understand these things. So that, this is the crazy stuff they do. Yes. You know, this stuff gives them joy, right, like that. So it doesn't give you joy, it means you're not a Kshatriya or something. However, he told only a little about the Kuru's bad words. He just would mention that they spoke badly and arrogantly and then turned around and refused to give the boy back and, you know, showing their prowess and arrogance. He wouldn't say all the words that they said because why make everybody feel bad? Otherwise, that might start a war itself. Yeah. So that's the whole point in the name of truth or this or that or things. You don't want to hurt the, you don't need to tell them all the things because it'll make them feel bad. So it's not necessary, right? You don't have to do that. Modern, they'll think, no, but if you don't tell the truth, no, that's not true. If truth means hurting people, then that's not truth, right? Does that make sense? Because then when it comes to actual truth, where they would be hurt, you know, means, you know, you have to get serious about Krishna consciousness, that kind of pushing, that we won't do. Oh, no, you don't push, this and that. But then when it comes to facts, then they'll tell everything, even though the guy's personally, you know, really is destroyed by it. You know, I had to tell them, it's my duty. So that's the thing, is that if we go by pranamoyic ethics, it's always made up, it's always imbalanced. So we see here is then dealing with the theistic morality, then it has a balance. You have to consider the people that you're working with in application. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? That's culture.
Here it seems that no Kuru came to that.
No?
No Kuru came.
It appears not.
It didn't
appear so. Maybe they just, you know, go back and make sure the city is on. No, they didn't come. And it appears that it didn't mention about the wedding either. So it didn't say whether the wedding was there or came back to and had the wedding in Dwarka. So that wasn't the important thing. He went to get Samba. And so you know that there's going to be a wedding, so you don't necessarily have to mention it here because the discussion is about Balaram's prowess. Right? That was the question, the original question. So that much to bring, because otherwise, you know, you say, did they get married? Of course they got married. But where, you know, and like that. That's not important for this. You know? Does that make sense? Srila Sukadeva Goswami concluded, even today the city of Hastinapur is visibly elevated on its southern side along the Ganges, thus showing the signs of Lord Balaram's prowess. So it's a little higher on that side because he pulled it that way. Because you cut it and then you pull it. So naturally when you first pull it, that side comes up. Srila Prabhupada concludes in Krishna book, it is confirmed from Sukadeva Goswami that in those days, the river flowing through the city of Hastinapur, present-day New Delhi, was known as the Ganges, although today it is called the Jamuna. From authorities like Jiva Goswami, it's confirmed that the Ganges and Jamuna are the same river flowing in different courses. The part of the Ganges which flows through Hastinapur to the area of Vrindavan is called the Jamuna because it is sanctified by the transcendental pastimes of Lord Krishna. The part of Hastinapur which slopes towards the Jamuna becomes inundated during the rainy season and reminds everyone of Lord Balaram's threatening to cast the city into the Ganges. Conclusion. Material opulence makes a man exactly like an animal. So we see is that because of their opulence and prowess, then they became puffed up. So then Balaram adjusted that. Because a puffed up man no longer wants a peaceful life, but becomes belligerent towards all others. Actually, the members of the Kuru dynasty were very much puffed up due to their opulence, kingdom, aristocracy, family tradition, great warriors, family members, and vast, expansive empire. They did not even observe common formalities of civilized society. In the presence of Lord Balaram, they uttered insulting words about the Yadu dynasty. Hence, it is useless to give such animalistic persons good instructions for gentle behavior and a peaceful life. Thus, the only means to keep animals in order is a stick, punishment. So then, if you look at the whole chapter and everything the Acharya said, then we don't see any fault on Balaram's part. He was acting in an appropriate way due to their lack of appropriate behavior. And on all levels, except for when they surrendered, then their behavior was wrong due to arrogance.
And if he would not do so, he would not punish them.
Sorry?
If Balaram, if he would not punish them by dragging the city into the Ganges, then he would not act, play the role of the original guru, basically.
They wouldn't?
He wouldn't act as original guru if he wouldn't punish them.
He wouldn't be acting as original guru. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Yeah, no, that's fair. But the aspect that's there, there is that, but at the same time, he's doing it through human pastimes. So he's going to do it as a Kshatriya, as a greater family member, and these kind of aspects. But he is the Lord, so therefore he does have to correct. You know what I'm saying? So for the pastime, then it's just a very unique way of dealing. We look at him as the Supreme Lord, then yes, of course that's there. So both of these things have to be there. But the point was is, you know, on the pastime level, they wanted to see the prowess of Balaram. So they were reacting badly. Right. So then they knew that he would respond in this way. So they pushed him into this position. But it's still his free will. But as someone who corrects bad behavior, then he took that position.
How can we come to the point of immediately surrendering instead of trying our own plans?
Practice. Because we try our own plans, how many of them are working out? Right, so, but it takes a while before we're convinced of that. So the more we try, the sooner we become convinced. But if we don't try to say that it's all right or it's not a problem, then it'll just take longer.
Maharaj, about their prayers, surrender of the Kauravas. Is it a fake prayer that they don't become devotees? Just like
no, that's correct that? Because they have that understanding of his position, but it doesn't bring them to the point of serious bhakti. It's not that they're not pious enough to understand what the Shastra is talking about. So it just means those there are the ones there that it is in devotion, but there's ones there that it's not necessary. Just like daksha, the Hamsaguya prayers, they're perfectly wonderful, but it's not necessarily that he himself is a devotee. You know, but by the Lord's grace, because of you know his sincerity and the worship, all that, then this knowledge is there. But then what he does with that knowledge may not be trying to obtain pure bhakti. So that's why it's said this attainment of pure bhakti, that's a rare thing. By Prabhupada's grace, that's the power of the founder Acharya, he makes it look as though it's a very, you know, general thing. But you see all the founder Acharyas, that's what they did. The time of Madhva, Ramanuja, like that. Then so much is going on, these huge societies of devotees. So one could take it for granted. But the point is it's a rare thing.
It's a very rare thing. So many may have, just like it says, it goes through when Lord Chaitanya is instructing, I think, Sanatana Goswami, you know, going up through, that there's unlimited living entities. Of these, very few are human. Mm-hmm. Of those that are human, very few are civilized, because there's 400,000 varieties, only some of them are civilized. Mm-hmm. Of those that are civilized, then very few actually endeavor for, you know, this higher understanding. Understand? Of those who have, you know, endeavor for it, very few have it. Of those who have it, then out of thousands and thousands of those, very few will actually surrender to the Lord. So you're getting more and more rare as it goes up. So that's the thing, is that you may have so much knowledge about this, but it doesn't necessarily mean you use it in it for the ultimate goal of bhakti. But it's not that they don't use bhakti in the process. Right? So that's why, in some ways, you see as the acharya, certain things then are usable and certain things are not. Because the effort that they put into that area is very valid. You know, it's like the Chanakya, his teachings, they're all very valid, but he's not a devotee. He's just a very solid Brahmin. So therefore, the Brahminical platform is used in Krishna's service, so as a proper Brahmin, then that, so we'll say he's not a devotee, but we'll never say he's not a good Brahmin. You know, where else do you hear of a prime minister that he lives in a grass hut, you know, outside the palace and goes out begging to maintain himself because he doesn't want any debt to the king? But he wanted a king so that the kingdom's peaceful, so he could run his guru. Right? So that's it.
So when Mahaprabhu says that he wants the holy man chanted in every time, is that for the purpose of fishing out those few people that would take it up, or giving everybody a gyatra security to start up next life or whatever?
Yeah, but does it have to be one or the other? It couldn't be both.
Yeah.
It's everybody in the village, some will become devotees, so that means they get bhakti, and the other, well, everybody else in the village gets a vyakta sukriti.
Mm.
Right? Because that, so these ones became devotees because the amount of vyakta sukriti had built up to a certain amount,
yeah,
that now they could have that faith. So, it's the same process. It's just at one point it matures. Mm-hmm. It's just like, let's just say, okay, I have a cup and I have a large bowl. And I'm taking the cup, filling it up with water and pouring it in the bowl. Right? So I do that for some time, and at some point the bowl becomes full. So there's that last cup that the bowl overflows. Right? So, but the process for it overflowing and the process for filling it up to overflowing is the same.
Yeah, I understand. I'm just trying to see, like, the general mood of preachers in ISKCON or leaders or whatever you want to call them, that it's like they're seeing
So chapter 69. Narad Muni visits Lord Krishna's palaces in Dwarka. Pratigya. One can understand the inconceivable action of the Lord's internal potency only by his mercy. Chapter 69 summarizes questions and answers. Lord Krishna asked Narad Muni questions 10:38 of Srimad Bhagavatam from 10:69:16. After fully worshipping the great sage of the demigods, according to the Vedic injunctions, Lord Krishna, who is himself the original sage, Narayana, the friend of Nara, conversed with Narada, and the Lord's measured speech was sweet as nectar. Right? Measured speech means you say, speak properly. Every word is proper, appropriate, proper tone, proper everything. Finally, the Lord asked Narada, "What may we do for you, our Lord and Master?" It's like somebody has like those baby shoes, you know. Narad Muni answers the question in verse 18. The rhetorical question uttered in verse 21 does not come under the study.
Adhyaya-prakashika. This chapter relates how Narad Muni was amazed to see the household pastimes of Lord Sri Krishna and how he offered prayers to the Lord. After killing the demon Naraka, Lord Krishna had simultaneously married 16,000 maidens, and sage Narada wanted to observe the Lord's diverse activities in this unique family situation. Right? We have to agree it's unique. Thus he went to Dwarka. Narada entered one of the 16,000 palaces and saw goddess Rukmini personally rendering menial service to Sri Krishna, despite her being in the company of thousands of maidservants. Right? Because whatever she does, then the maidservants are always there to help. But she does these services directly. It's just the culture. Just like I remember being in one in Calcutta, very, at the time, very wealthy man. But at the same time, as he wasn't just businessman wealthy, they were business families that have been in Calcutta for many generations. So they took on that kind of Bengali cultured mood, even though they weren't Bengalis. So he's also very, sophisticated and a very socially, you know, he can move around in any circle. And he was very good in it. Depending upon what he was doing, he would address for that. So when he came to the temple, always in dhoti and kurta and like this and that, but then he's out somewhere, he's dressed, every place he's dressed differently. You know, very aristocratic. And so they heard about Prabhupada's, I think, bhati chachar. You know, the pork dal and potato sabji where it gets burnt. And they were very intrigued because they were, you know, being refined and sophisticated, they were into fine cooking. Like that. And so then they asked us to come and show them. So we came to their kitchen, you know, and they're there and the servants are there. They just cooked how much they eat and, you know, being cultured and gentle, you know, like that, they didn't eat very much. So, I mean, the amount of bhati chachari I cooked would have been about an amount for half a Gurukul boy. But that was for, like, you know, whoever was going to eat. You know, because everyone just tastes, no, nice, you know, because the other preparations. And so then, in the discussion, I noticed she was cooking. Because the other thing, see, I was just doing bhati chachari, she was doing everything else. And so then I asked her about the cooking and the servants and, you know, all this and that. And she said, they prepare things. They'll cut things, prepare things, you know, like that, clean the kitchen and wash the pots and all, but they'll never cook. Because they're the head of the family. Why they should cook? Otherwise, you're eating their cooking, and then you take on their consciousness. Like that. So it's just you see this. Or like I said, I made another house I saw in Delhi, where the servants of the house were going through and cleaning the house. And I noticed the lady of the house was also cleaning. And I asked her, why are you cleaning? They're cleaning. She said they only clean the floor. Anything on the ground, they clean. Anything above the ground, she cleans. Because they'll never put everything right. You know, when they clean the table, they'll never put it back the way you want it. You know, the pillow's upside down, the thing's in the wrong place, it's not symmetric. You know, so just that. And two is that if they can only touch things on the floor, they can't steal. Because things worth stealing aren't on the floor. So that's just the way it works. Because they don't have a right to touch something up there. So this is just the whole thing, is that here we see this comes originally from, you know, the goddess of fortune. She has thousands of maidservants, but she does the service herself because it's for Krishna. Just like, it means there may be pujaris and that, you know, for the temple and all that, but the worship itself is done by the person of the house. It's his temple. He'll do the worship. You know, like Ambarish Maharaj, he's there. The others may prepare paraphernalia and do other things like that and help with things and, you know, like that, but he'll do the worship. That's just the, you know, that's the culture standard. Exactly. Yes, it's still like that. I'm saying that cultured families is the way it works. And then, you know, people aren't as cultured and they get enough money and they have servants, then they always have them cook and do everything. You know. I say, let everyone connect the dots. Yes. Okay. As soon as Lord Krishna noticed Narada, he got up from his bed, offered obeisances to the sage, and seated him on his own seat. Right? Not just another seat, but his seat. Then the Lord bathed Narada's feet and sprinkled the water on his own head. Such is the exemplary behavior of the Lord. Right? So he's doing like this. So Narad Muni didn't just come in and plunk himself down somewhere. Because one of the things that Manu mentions is about, you know, people have their seats. You have to be aware of their seats. So that's always the thing. It's when you come into the living room and someone's there, you see, where do they ask you to sit? Sit there rather than just go and sit. Otherwise, you may end up sitting in their seat, and then they're not very pleased. Does that make sense? But here, then, he got up and gave him his own seat. So then that's fine. Because he's arranged like that. So you sit where they want you to sit. So that's why it says, such was the exemplary behavior of the Lord. He got up and immediately, what we see is that Indra, then Brihaspati walks into the court. And how you say? He doesn't stand up, and then everything falls apart. Like that. And he's not superior to Brihaspati. Brihaspati actually is superior to him. One, as a Brahmin, and two, just what planetary system he's from. He's in the planetary systems higher than Indra. While Krishna, he's the original personality of Godhead, and Narad Muni is his devotee, but because he's playing the role of a Kshatriya, he therefore respects the Brahmin. Therefore, that's the example of behavior. After conversing with the Lord for a short while, Narada went to another of his palaces, where he saw Sri Krishna playing at dice with his queen and Uddhava. Going from there to another palace, he found Lord Krishna coddling his infant children. In another palace, he saw him preparing to take a bath. In another, performing fire sacrifices. In another, feeding Brahmins. And in another, eating the remnants left by Brahmins. In one palace, the Lord was performing noontime rituals. In another, quietly chanting the Gayatri Mantra. In another, sleeping on his bed. In another, consulting with his ministers. And in yet another, playing in the water with his female companions. Somewhere the Lord was giving charity to Brahmins. In another palace, he was joking and laughing with his consort. In yet another palace, he was meditating on the Supersoul. Somewhere he was serving his spiritual masters. In another place, he was arranging for the marriages of his sons and daughters. Elsewhere, he was going out to hunt animals. And elsewhere, he was moving about in disguise to find out what the citizens were thinking. Having seen all this, Narada addressed Lord Krishna. Only because I have served your lotus feet can I understand these varieties of your yoga maya potency, which ordinary living beings, bewildered by illusion, cannot begin to perceive. Thus I am most fortunate, and I simply desire to travel all over the three worlds, chanting the glories of your pastimes, which purify all the worlds. Sri Krishna asked Narada not to be confused by his vision of the Lord's transcendental opulences, and he described to him the purposes of his appearances in the world, in this world. He then honored the sage properly according to religious principles, and Narada departed, continuously meditating on the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Narada Muni is able to witness the entire day's activities of Krishna.
Yes. That's why he says, only because I have served your lotus feet can I understand these varieties of your yogamaya potency, which ordinary living beings, bewildered by illusion, cannot begin to perceive. Thus I am most fortunate. Right? So the Lord arranges this. He has this desire in the Lord then around us. Because otherwise, to go, you know, how you say, door to door and be received and all that, how many can you go to in a day? Right? You know, 8-10 houses like that, you know. And then he's got, you know, 16,000, 90 to go. You know, like that. And so, 7 years later, then Narada Muni came to Krishna. This is really amazing. And besides that, I gained 50 kilos from all the food you fed. So he's just able to at one time see all of them. He goes to the one palace and then he's able to go and see all of them. So we'll hear the details of that as it becomes revealed as we hear about it, and that rendering of service then allows us to gain the mercy of the Lord so that it may be revealed. Yep.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jainatai Gaurav.